Good morning, everybody. And a particularly warm welcome to anybody who is here for the first time or who is visiting. As always, there'll be tea and coffee in the Mayo Hall after the service. And everybody's very welcome, of course, at the other services today, interactive worship at 11:30, and reflective worship this week with communion at 6:30. And a special welcome, of course, to Phil, who's leading the service here this morning in Leslie's understandable absence. There's one small glitch I must warn you of. There are no service papers today. Apologies for that. There was a technical hitch of one sort or another. So Phil will guide you through the service without them with no problems whatsoever. A couple of items of pastoral news. Brenda Crump and Dot Dixon remain in Kingston Hospital. Elizabeth Cole has fractured her wrist and is in hospital for an operation. And John Cox has had a second knee operation, a second knee replacement, but he's here. Welcome back, John. Looking at the week ahead, I was going to say, please see the service paper, but I won't say that now. I'll have to improvise instead. On Thursday, there's a seminar run by Kingston's Link, which is an opportunity to hear and discuss issues concerning respect and dignity in Kingston's care services. There is a little poster on the board in the Mayo Hall, so if you're interested, please do have a look, and please do let them know in advance if you think you'd like to attend. On Saturday the 23rd, you can come along and find out more about our building. That's right, isn't it, Derek? I've got the date right. At 10:15 to 12 o'clock, Dave Richards and Martin Verge will be doing a building awareness presentation to let people know a little bit more about the building, how it functions, etc. So please do come along. Then also on Sunday next week, this is the last date for bringing in filled boxes back to church for shoe boxes in Romania, which are intended as small gifts for very poor families in Romania. And they're dispatched on their way to the various families in time for Christmas. So if you do have one at home, please bring it in by next Sunday. And if you don't have a box, you can pick one up in the Mayo Hall after the service. And finally, a message from Holly Christie for those of you who use the Eden Walk car park. As you probably know, even the newer tickets are only valid till 1 p.m. So if you do get back later, please use the help button at the exit barrier to call somebody who will come along and take your money. Thank you.
Good morning. First, may I say that Brenda's coming along well and will be home tomorrow from hospital. So let us sing praises to God, for he has come into our life like a shaft of sunlight, calling us out of the shadows where we were hiding, summoning us to praise and to service as a rejoicing, loving community. So let us commence our worship with hymn number 292, When Morning Gilds the Skies. We don't actually have the projection for this. There's some glitch on that. So you will need your hymn books. That's 292. So let us have a time of prayer. Lord Jesus, be welcome in our homes and dwell in them. Be a permanent member of our families and share all our secrets. Sit with us at every meal. Have your own place and possessions and your own interests along with ours. Be at every conversation as you listen to us. May we listen to you. Have a part in all our plans and a voice in all our decisions. Be there at every argument when the air is heavy with tension. And be in all our laughter and in every whispering of love. Share our sorrows as well as our joys, our good days as well as our bad days, as we open ourselves to you in following you. May you open yourself to us and let your beauty, love, and peace be found among us. Jesus, be not just a guest in our homes, but live in them always. Gracious and merciful Lord, as we remember your great love and sacrifice, we come seeking your forgiveness and help. For in so many ways we have failed you. We have not lived faithfully as your disciples or fully obeyed your commandments. And we have not loved you as you love us, or always our neighbours as ourselves. We do not always allow your light to shine. In so many ways we do fail you. Lord, have mercy on us. Renew our spirits. Strengthen our wills. Deepen our faith. And send us out forgiven and restored to live and work for you. And we pray in your name. Amen. And shall we continue with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Three juggling balls. You've all seen jugglers that do this sort of thing. Well, something like that. And of course the idea is to get all three going in there. My point is that I can't actually do it. Because I've never persisted with actually trying to really keep going until I've learnt it. My son can do it, and the Christmas before last in the afternoon he was entertaining us just ad hoc, and he taught my daughter in 3/4 of an hour. She could do the basic three things. She really focused and she really kept trying. I'm afraid I've never quite felt it so necessary to learn how to juggle that I've spent the time. But it's a reminds me of a story I've told here once before, and it's true. As a junior, 15 to 18 years old, I ran for Hampstead Harriers on the track in the summer. And there was a girl, probably a year or two younger than me, with very bright red hair, quite slim, And she used to drag around in the girls' races, fifth out of sixth and all this sort of thing. And she used to actually go training in the cross country in the winter with all the adults. She'd go out in the worst of weather training and that. And I used to think, what does she do that for? You know, different if you're occasionally winning or you're up there. But why is she doing that? But she persisted. And Hampstead Harriers eventually merged with Barnet. And then Barnet merged, became Barnet and Shaftesbury. And then one day I'm watching the television, and there they're saying that Joyce Smith, her name was Joyce, of Barnet and Shaftesbury representing Great Britain in the 10,000 metres. And she came second. And later on, I don't know if Paula Radcliffe has won the Young London Marathon, but if not, then Joyce Smith was the last British woman to win the London Marathon. Probably about 20 years ago, something now. So she had that something, that almost fanaticism, that persistence, that she kept going. Whereas me, well, I'd want half an hour, perhaps once in the week was my training, and I'd turn up on Sunday and wonder why I wasn't the champion, you know. But that's the theme, actually, is persistence or keep going. So let us sing again. It's number 92, and it is on the boards. Amazing Grace, 92. Amen. Our first reading is going to be given to us by Liz. It is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14. I'm not sure if we're going to have it up on the screen or we not. We are. Okay, good. Timothy was a young Christian from Asia Minor and the son of a Jewish mother and a Greek father who became a companion and assistant to Paul in his missionary work. And we're going to hear a reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, which consists largely of personal advice to Timothy.
But as for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and dead, and because he is coming to rule as king, I solemnly urge you to preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, to convince, reproach, and encourage as you teach with all patience. The time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine, but will follow their own desires and will collect for themselves more and more teachers who will tell them what they are itching to hear. They will turn away from listening to the truth and give their attention to legends. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances. Endure suffering, do the work of a preacher of the good news, and perform your whole duty as a servant of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. And now we're going to hear from Alistair, our reading from Luke's Gospel 18, verses 1 to 8. And you'll see where persistence comes in.
And the reading has the heading, The Parable of the Widow and the Judge. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming to him and pleading for her rights, saying, "Help me against my opponent." For a long time the judge refused to act, but at last he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because of all the trouble this widow is giving me, I will see to it that she gets her rights. If I don't, she will keep on coming and finally wear me out." And the Lord continued, "Listen to what that corrupt judge said. Now, will God not judge in favor of his own people, who cry to him day and night for help? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will judge in their favor and do it quickly. But will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes?" Thanks be to God.
Hymn number 349, 349. I sometimes get confused with names. There is a Richard Dawkins who advocates that there is no God, and also Stephen Hawking, the paralysed scientist with a voice box, who similarly says, if you cannot scientifically prove the existence of God, then he doesn't exist. And for people who don't believe in God, they seem to spend a lot of time writing and talking about him. They suggest that evolution somehow explains the existence and development of the millions of different forms of life, all emanating from a single cell splitting into two. Well, I can understand how tortoises in the Galapagos would develop longer necks over a period of time, but through pure evolution, how could the spider start producing a fibre when it didn't before, and then follow it on by developing it to construct the complex web, as the garden spider does? There again, if you think it through, how come the difference, just through natural selection, between a spider with eight legs who spins a web and an elephant with four legs and a trunk and large flapping ears? And what about mushrooms and oak trees? Are they really all from the same beginning? They all have their distinctive DNA. Scientific evidence doesn't provide all the answers. The idea of some form of divine creation is more credible. Some form of creative intervention to produce the many forms of animal and vegetable life. To trust and believe in what is not 100% provable is the basis of faith. And we base our faith on the reality of Jesus and the witness of his disciples who saw his death and resurrection. We do base our faith on Jesus, and to live the Christian life is to follow the example and teachings of Jesus. In the Gospel reading today, Jesus tells a parable which Luke says was specifically to teach the disciples that they should always pray and never become discouraged. The parable gives the example of the widow, who in those days was a vulnerable person because she no longer had a husband to care for her, and there was no NHS and no benefit system, and presumably she had no children. She kept coming back to the inconsiderate and disrespectful judge to insist on her rights, and eventually, for the sake of peace and quiet, the judge granted her wishes. The message is that God listens, and if we continue to ask, then we will not be ignored. And there are times when we become discouraged about prayer. We ask, seek, and knock, expecting to find an instant answer, and nothing tangible seems to happen. The story of the unjust judge encourages us to keep on praying and to keep on expecting God to answer. Delay may be part of the answer. Answers to our prayers are assured if we are persistent, because God cares. And regular prayer is at the base of the strength of our faith. I would suggest to anyone who doesn't pray much or only in dire circumstances is not that close to God and has not achieved as strong a faith as they might. So we are asked to pray and also not to be discouraged if our difficulties or the problems that we pray for, of those we pray for, continue. To persist in prayer and not give up doesn't mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. A constant prayer means keeping our requests continually before God as we live for him day by day, believing he will answer. Philip Yancey says that when I really want something, I strive and persist. Whether it's climbing Colorado's mountains, chasing the woodpeckers away from my roof, or getting a high-speed internet connection for my home, I'll do whatever it takes. Do I show the same spirit in prayer? God wants us to bring our requests boldly and without reservation. And by failing to do so, I will likely miss out on some delightful surprises. End of quote. Well, he also says, persistent prayer keeps bringing God and me together with several important benefits. As I pour out my soul to God, I get it off my chest, so to speak, unloading some of my burden to one who can handle it better. What I learn from spending time with God then better equips me to discern what God wants to do on earth, as well as my role in that plan. Yancey quotes a George MacDonald as saying, "A God that should fail to hear, receive, attend to one single prayer, I cannot believe in. But a God that would grant every request of every man, woman, or group of people would be an evil God. Although I bring my honest concerns to God, over time I may come away with an entirely different set of concerns." A lot of deep stuff there. There are copies of the sermon afterwards if you want to sort of think that through a bit more. So there's an underlying message of not praying just the once and that's it, job done. Forget it and move on to the next worthy project. Regular praying may in fact allow the Holy Spirit to prompt us to be involved in the ongoing solution. For some international issues, maybe we can donate to a supporting charity or agency, or write to our MP, or sign a petition, or get involved as a volunteer, or purely talk to others about our concerns. For an individual known to us personally, perhaps if we remain aware enough, an opportunity to help or support may arise. In my earlier introduction, I told the story of the athlete Joyce Smith, who persisted and ultimately won the London Marathon. Claire Rayner, who died this last week, was someone who persisted. She was a person who campaigned. And to successfully campaign, you have to keep on. You can't expect to just campaign for a couple of weeks and think that's enough. Prayer is not a matter of persuading God to do our will. Rather, it is a conversation with God in which we discover His will and we get behind what God wants. The prayer may be answered by God changing or organising the world as you ask or would like, or it may be answered by God changing what you ask for. Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, asking to be released from the painful events ahead of him. But after some considerable time, maybe a couple of hours while the disciples slept on watch, Jesus came to accept God's will, his Father's will, and went ahead, strengthened in the knowledge that this was the right course. Prayer requests don't always achieve the results we expect or ask for. We pray for what God wants to give us, which may turn out to be good gifts, or it may be the Holy Spirit. And from God's viewpoint, there's no better response to persistent prayer than the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's own self. We may pray for food and get a lesson in racism. We may pray for healing and get humility. We may ask for relief from trials and instead get the patience to bear them. Asking, seeking, and knocking does have an effect on God, but it also has a lasting effect on the asker, seeker, knocker. Just because we pray for someone doesn't automatically mean that God will miraculously cure them of whatever. But they may receive help, feel inner strength to cope, and may well experience the love of God expressed through those friends and those relatives who care for or visit them. It's interesting how ideas merge. I've touched upon believing and faith and the request by Jesus for us to be persistent in prayer and how prayer supports and develops our faith. Now how we may be prompted to take some more active role. God calls us in many different ways and activities. We're not necessarily called to just one area of activity, but any activity without prayer is far less likely to achieve. Even at KCAH, we have a prayer morning each Friday morning before work with the staff, just to remember that we're there serving God. An American evangelist at 17 years old was very ill when his mother said, "You must give your life to God. Only God can help you now, and you must pray." "I don't know how to pray," the young man replied. His mother then said, "You don't have to know how to pray. Just talk to God out of your heart. Tell him what you feel inside. That's all it takes to pray." And the evangelist said later, "After all these years, I've not been able to improve on my mother's advice. Just talk to God out of your heart. I can only add, talk to God as a person. Do not think of him as being 100 miles away, although you know he is everywhere at the same time." We can pray to God as Jesus, or as the ideal father, or some people see God as a nurturing mother. However we picture God, God is God and is there for us. That is his love for us, just like the best of ideal parents. To think of Jesus as a person makes it easy for you to see him in your mind's eye. You see him walking the hills of Judea. You see him beside the waters of the Sea of Galilee. You see him standing on the hillside preaching to the people. You see him laying hands on the sick. You see him blessing little children. You see him on the cross. You see him rising from the dead. You see him ascending into heaven, and you see him sitting on the right hand of God. You can see the Lord in your mind's eye. And so when you pray to God as a person. So like Joyce Smith and Claire Rayner, never give up. Remain focused. Don't be discouraged. Persistence pays. Faith is about holding on and believing through the difficult times as well as the good. God is there for us, does hear us. And what a comfort and blessing that is. Amen. And now we're going to sing a prayer, hymn number 518. Father, I place into your hands, 518.
I place
One more verse. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to see the lights that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. Now for our prayers of intercession. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you come to us in love and with blessings. You are to be met in our encounters with friends and with strangers, as you are in all and about all. So blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give thanks that you have called us to know you and ask that we may always serve you faithfully. Bless all who are called to preach the word and administer the sacraments. We pray for all who are training for ministry and all who are seeking to understand and proclaim your word. We pray for peace in our world and ask your blessing upon all who are seeking to end hostilities. The negotiations in the Middle East, Afghanistan, even Iraq, the Congo, many areas of the world. We remember all who work for the reconciliation of relationships in nations and in individuals. And we pray for the United Nations and all peacekeeping forces. We give thanks for all who work in the healing ministry. And we pray for doctors, nurses. We ask your blessing upon ambulance workers and upon carers, the carers in this community, this congregation. We remember before you friends and loved ones who are ill and pray for those who are no longer able to look after themselves. And let us have half a minute's silence when we may wish to remember those we know personally and wish to bring before you. We give thanks for the gift of eternal life and ask that your blessing be upon our friends and loved ones who are departed from us. May we come to share with them in the fellowship of all your saints in your glory that is forever. Merciful Father, accept these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us take our offertory. Lord God, we bring our money and ourselves in your service. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our final hymn, number 117, 117. Go from this place in peace, And if the walk is long, praise God, he will walk it with you. If the wind is cold, praise God for the warmth of his touch. If life is hard, praise God, for his love is with you forever. And the blessing of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.